Hello, Mr. Miles. This is podcast number 4, Reading Out Loud with Statistics by Daryl Huff. I'm Diana.
I'm Chelsea Jeanette Smith, as you know.
Chris Kerr.
And I'm Sophia Henninger. And here we go
with the last two chapters, chapter 9 and chapter 10. We're almost done. Yes, the start of chapter 9 is really confusing. Like, I've had to read it like at least 5 times, but I didn't know what I was reading.
I feel the same way. Yeah. I was looking over,
I was trying to write down notes for it. I couldn't even do it, Mr. Moss.
Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, it starts off with, like, staticulation. And, I kind of took that as, like, another way of saying statistics, for real. It's just, like, a method that, deals with data and, like surveys.
Chelsea.
Right here it says misinforming people by the use of statistical material might be called statistical manipulation, in a word, though not a very good one, staticulation.
Right.
I guess it's saying that.
Isn't that what the whole book's about? How to lie with statistics?
That is.
How to manipulate people with statistics.
Exactly.
Basically.
There you go.
I mean, I guess
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Making one believe that something is not exactly what it is, but from a distance it is what they say it is.
Alright. And then that was the beginning of chapter 9. And when you dig a little deeper into chapter 9, page 104, they start talking about back to the family income and stuff like that. And how the average family was, the average income of a family was $3,100. And then, yeah. But I'm thinking.
But in what year was that? Because
this was
about different years.
Yeah, this was in 1949. That's what the Bureau of the Census was saying.
An average income meaning like a month?
I don't know if that's a month or if that's for the year, but then again, that is 1949.
Yeah, so it might be.
That's weird, yeah.
For the year.
It's not saying. And then,
I think it is for the year.
Yeah. Oh.
$3,100. I'll make that in a month.
And then what was it saying? It was talking about. It has like a little picture on how to make $22,500 a year for gross income when you have at least one wife and 13 children.
Oh,
right.
And then you calculate. Yeah, this would confuse me a little bit.
That's weird.
Calculate the U.S. per capita income.
So that's about $1,500 per year, approximately. Multiply by 15, so and that's how you get it. And then it was saying on the next page, it was saying how people that have 4 children. This is confusing too.
Now I have 4 children, and I wish things were disposed in that way, but they're not. Families of 4 are by no means commonly twice as wealthy as families of 2.
Oh, okay, so they are saying that the family of 2 doesn't matter, or family of 4, they could both be equally wealthy. It doesn't matter whether, yeah, it matters on the family, so I should say.
I think, like, families of 4, they say is twice as wealthy than families of 2. Well, you figure it's still going to be the same for each person. Say, like, this person gets a certain amount of money, and then, say, like, all right, for instance, us four. I will get a certain amount of money, she would get a certain amount of money, you would get a certain amount of money, she would get a certain amount of money. They will all get the same amount of money. And that will be the same amount as the 2 people in the 1 family that would get. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
It'll be basically the same thing.
And then we start talking about how we start talking about the amount of hours someone gets at night.
Yeah.
Okay. The amount of sleep someone gets at night.
Yeah.
And how they said that each night a person can go 5 minutes, will wake up for 5 minutes and, was it 5 or 15 minutes? I think it was 5.
I think it was 15.
Yeah, 5. Well, a person can recall at least 5 minutes of sleep, like not being asleep in the middle of the night. But on average, a person will get 7.831, which or 7.8, almost 8 hours of sleep a night. I think that's pretty true. Unless you know they go to bed.
Do you think that's
late.
Just for a woman? Because I see right here it says labor and rest for a peasant woman. Like, in 1923, producing labor, it was like 7 hours and 49 minutes. Other labor would be like 8 hours and 2 minutes. And then the rest would be 2 hours and 26 minutes. And then the sleep would be 5 hours and 43 minutes. So, wait, what I'm getting from this is rest meaning like falling asleep, but not exactly asleep yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
Well, then in 1936, they have 4 hours and 43 minutes for producing labor, 6 hours and 50 minutes for other labor, 5 hours and 1 minute for rest, and then 7 hours and 26 minutes for sleep. So, what I'm getting from 1936 is that it's like 13 hours of rest sleep. And that doesn't make no sense, honestly.
Why do you think it doesn't make sense?
Because that's like half your day. Like half your day you're asleep, you're falling asleep, going to sleep.
Well, yeah, true.
You see what I mean?
I mean, do they mean like when you're actually trying to lay down and go to sleep, or just like, you know, when I'm on the bus ride home and I'm like, I don't got anything to do, it's quiet, I'm about to fall asleep.
I think they're counting.
And that's
like
resting.
All the time you're trying to rest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like probably 13 hours a day, or just where you're like in your bed trying to sleep, that is a lot of time.
Yeah.
But just think, you know, all the time during the day where you're just sitting there not doing anything.
By producing labor, they're meaning like working and stuff?
This has to do with statistics, but it's not in the book. But they say you're supposed to get at least 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah,
they say that should be enough, but that's not enough. I'll be getting like 10 hours of sleep, and I still be tired.
Do you want to know why you still be tired? No, look, look.
Why I still be tired?
An average athletic person is supposed to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you get more than 8 hours of sleep, you'll be tired. If you get less than 7 hours of sleep, you'll be tired.
Yeah. You want to reach that mark. Like, you know, like,
you want to be on time, which is sleep. Yeah.
Like, let's say you, like, the night before you even sleep at all, you try to sleep the whole day. You know, when you wake up, like, you try to sleep for 12 hours straight.
But look, I stayed up doing a benchmark all night. Like, I ain't getting no sleep at all. And I wasn't even that tired in school. Like, I just crashed hard. Like, I woke up like, oh snap, I didn't even know I went to sleep. Like,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Like, what day is it? Like, I didn't know I went to sleep. So it's weird.
Because they say you need at least 8 hours of sleep. Like, yeah. But they say it for everybody. You need at least 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You
I mean, when I was taking the driver permit test, it said you need at least 8 hours of sleep before driving.
Right. Yeah. Because not, you know, driving, you can get highway high.
Oh, yeah, that's another statistic.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's
what they tell you when you take drugs. Like, don't operate heavy machinery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, drugs can give you the same effect of not sleeping for 2 days. Like,
yeah, they said
it
with alcohol.
It just
and
messes
permit,
you up.
And for driving, right, they say it's the same amount. Driving under the influence and being sleepy. They say your reactions is slower than
then that's
sleeping.
How you get in car accidents.
Yeah, they say that's another statistic.
And then you start moving in slow motion.
Yeah.
Just as like a quick question to everyone, like, how many times, like, not word for word, but how many times do you think, like, in your day, or I don't know, like in your week, do statistics? Like, do you think of it, or does it matter to you? Like,
the only time I think about statistics is when I'm in school. Think about what work I gotta do.
Same, but I just started thinking about that, though, with sleeping and driving.
I
never really thought about it like that, ever.
I mean,
so.
I think you use it no matter what, without even realizing it. You know how
they
say math is around you all the time?
Yeah. I did not believe that.
It is, though.
Like,
I really
didn't.
I didn't want to believe it.
And
why?
So,
because
it's
schoolwork.
I don't want to believe it.
But we really do need math. And like, I didn't realize how much. I thought, like we said in the first few podcasts, how we thought statistics were just percentiles and like it had to do with sports, but it turns out it's a lot more. Like you just said, it's with sleeping and it's with.
Yes, Mr. Miles, this relates to chapter 10 because it tells us how to talk back to a statistic, and we're
talking back to the statistic.
Yes,
so,
go ahead,
what
Jay.
You saying, Chelsea?
Just like you were saying, like,
yeah, chapter 10.
How to talk back to a statistic.
Yeah.
Not all statistical information that you may come up on can be tested with the sureness of chemical analysis or of what goes on in an assayer's laboratory. An assayer meaning like, like a teacher or something?
But I chapter 10, it don't really say really too much in the last chapter.
It's talking about, what's it
called? It's talking about like
stockholders.
And being biased.
So basically, they're answering questions for us. Like,
doesn't make sense. That stuff makes sense. How about that?
So overall, it was a good book. It was confusing at times. But it was confusing at times. It's a good book. What did you think about the book, Chelsea?
I think, like, well, for a math book, you know, it wasn't that bad. It's just like, if they would clear it up a little bit more.
I agree. I like the book.
Yeah.
It was, it started off very slow. Like, it started off.
Yeah, very, very slow, Mr. Miles.
You just tell me.
I would recommend a different book, Mr. Miles.
Moneyball
was a
book, I would have read that.
Yeah, Moneyball was a book, we would have read it. No, yeah, we need to try to find a book like that, yeah.
I guess that's it, Mr. Miles.
Good job, y'all.
Yay. Yay, book club.
All right.
More of this, we're all done.
Goodbye.